You know it's true. Everything I do it for the top 91 games. I'm 1991. Today on. Welcome, one and all, to the greatest show on earth. Well, at least for the next hour on YouTube. I'd like to say hello to all my favorite people that are here, including Sinistar. What is going on, sir? You are in a sweatshop. What are you doing? Are you making shoes? What are you doing over there?
He's in a sauna.
Yeah.
This is my Nintendo 64 over here.
If you've been kidnapped, blink twice, please. We're worried about you.
Press B, brought to you by Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Sistar, welcome aboard. Yeah.
I am up at Brother of Sin's cabin.
Cabin.
And I am streaming from Brother of Sin's cottage cabin. I'm up in the mountains area and having a great time.
Let's just take a moment and appreciate Sinistar's dedication to the podcast, that he is on vacation and yet still finds time to come and give me shit for the next hour. I appreciate it. Speaking of giving me shit, Jake, how's Dragon Dogma 2 going and the rest of your life? How's things going?
You know, Dragon's Dogma might say it's Game of the Year. Not me, though. I would never do that to you because I know that drives you nuts. But it's a pretty solid game. I gotta say, though, when you sung Bryan Adams, Please Don't Sue Us, Bryan Adams, during my wedding, my wife insists that that's our song.
Oh.
But really, what our song is, I'm going to say this now in a short clip later, is
Rainbow Connection.
Now. No,
Rainbow
no, no.
Rainbow Connection.
It's Rainbow Connection.
It's the Snakes on a Plane song that's done by Cobra Starship. They've only done like one song that made it anywhere, and it's that song. And I remember that song because I love that song. It was in Snakes on a Plane, which is our first kind of when we met. We went together to group to see that movie. And I love that song, and she fucking hates it. And I'm pretty sure, she told the DJ to not play it when I said that's our dance song.
Oh. But we got Bryan Adams did an instead. Acoustic version of one of my favorite songs from that album. So that's awesome.
Well,
and we've also
Starship,
Canada,
if you're listening, you know.
Canada has apologized for Bryan Adams on numerous occasions. Wolf.
They still haven't apologized for Bieber.
That's true. Wolf, how are you?
He's not Canadian, is he?
I am doing pretty well today. Sorry, I kind of gave everybody heart attacks before the episode because should I go into the rules a little bit?
We decided
how I give y'all a heart attack?
Yeah, we'll have the rules, but we basically figured out how this episode actually works moments before we
Thirty minutes. It was me saying, hey, I'm barbecuing food for the wife and I. I'm probably going to be late. And within the span of me saying, hey, I'm probably going to be late, we literally fucking figured out the rules of this entire episode within that time frame.
So give us the rundown on the
rules.
What
are the rundown there, Wolf?
Okay, so as Sinistar prefaced it with last time, lazy rules succeed. So it doesn't matter if it released in 90, 91, or 92, as long as it released one of those years, one of them. So we're kind of going on the release year that's listed on Mobi. Mobi Games. So if it's Japan in 91, it's Japan. If it's North America in 91, it's North America. Basically, as we roll out more of these episodes, we're just not going to repeat games from episode to episode.
Yeah.
So if it's claimed for 91, it's not going to be used in 92 and so forth. So
just so you know, my games were released in 91 in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're looking at you, Zimbabwe. Want to make sure you're still out there.
We love you, Zimbabwe.
We love you. All right. Well, we also, since last weekend, we apologize for last weekend having to cancel at short notice. It was a really rough week for a bunch of us, and we just couldn't muster the ability to put anything together, which was supposed to this was supposed to happen last week. GP was supposed to be a part of it. Unfortunately, this week, he had to dip out for a family emergency, not an emergency. It's a family fun thing. Everything's good. He's fine.
I was about to
his house just burnt down, but it's fine. He's on vacation.
The emergencies of a birthday. Oh no.
We are. Well, you know, my birthday's in a couple weeks. It's kind of an emergency. So Wolf and I both discussed this on the MPs, on the Oracle Polos, that we are going to be representing him because there's a game on there that both Wolf, myself, and GP all absolutely love. And we decided that we were going to announce it once we figured out the rules of how we were going to do this. I didn't want to be the guy that took it, and Wolf didn't want to be the guy that takes it away. So we decided, you know, we're going to do it conglomerately. So, Jake, do you got
to
guess?
To give you an idea how messed up this is, for those who are doubting our thought process here, look at Sonic the Hedgehog from the Genesis. On Wikipedia, the North America release date says 1989. Moby Games says 91. So it's kind of like, which one is it? I know it's not 89, because I mean, you know, I had that game at launch.
Wikipedia is wrong, because I have proof that it's 91. I have undeniable proof that it's
89. 89 is the best 91.
That 1991 tagged clamshell?
Yep.
Not for resale.
I got that one too.
Not for resale. Well, I've got it right here in front of me. So. Okay, so without further delay, I guess we should might as well get into the meat and potatoes of this wonderful episode. Guys, thank you so much. Up,
right?
Oh, I would like to thank everybody. Hold on. Let me gush about you fuckers for a few minutes, please, because I love you. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out today, and the viewers, the listeners. And I want to say that we didn't. Is this? This is not the 2001. We did that already, right?
No, we've already thanked them. That's okay. They're good.
Well, then fuck everybody else. Fine. Never mind. 2002. Fuck you. Okay. That's how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't care. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Now that I'm hosting and I get to say something, I don't get cut off by Jake anymore. Yes. You guys are awesome. Thanks for making such a wonderful year. Thanks for accepting myself and Sinistar, mostly Sinistar, into the fold with everybody else. I love doing this every Friday. See, I've stopped streaming, but I haven't stopped podcasting because I freaking love hanging out with these guys. So,
you and me both.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, you're on fucking vacation. You popped in. I'm going to have to do this from my master bedroom next week. So I got to show you up next week.
The next time you go on a cruise, we expect.
Yeah.
I'll buy the remote Wi-Fi link package.
Yeah. Are you getting a satellite uplink?
You guys got to go in halvesies with me on the Wi-Fi package on the cruise? Because that's the only problem. It's freaking expensive. Oh.
Sure, why not?
All right. All right. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this wonderful... Jake's got something to say. Sorry, go ahead.
So for the listeners and the viewers of this episode... I wasn't here for the 1990 episode. Some of them may have not been there as well. And like, I love you guys. And you know that if I'm not in an episode, you know that I listened to it. But some people may not have. So could you explain how you did it? Did you rank them at the end of the... everybody went around in a circle, gave their picks, and then you ranked it?
I sort of did a quick and dirty ranking system, but I don't think we're going to repeat that.
Okay.
Everybody submitted their scores to me privately through DM and Discord.
Yeah.
And then I sort of did the math and figured out which one came out on top. But
I really think we just treat this like our regular Game of the Year episodes, where it's per person's Game of the Year.
Yeah. I don't think this is a ranking, like it's not a bracket, right? We're just going to say this was my favorite Game of the Year according to me. Not according to everybody else, kind of. That's just where we're going to stand on it. So we'll do round robin. We'll do runner up. We'll do game of the year. And if we have an honorable mention, if there's time, then maybe we'll fire off an honorable mention.
But this is a good discussion. If you're listening to this or watching this, and you want to rank, come talk to us in our Discord.
You'll be wrong.
If we don't mention your favorite game in this episode for 1991, just know that your game sucks and it's not game of the year.
And that is absolutely without a doubt true.
The takeaway I'm getting from this, but that's okay.
Yeah, yell at us on Discord. PressBeatCancel.com.
No, Jake's totally right. I don't typically agree on Jake, but he's totally right on this one. All right.
Okay, Circus Charlie, let's go.
Yeah, right. Well, he's is that definitely 91? Wrong on that.
No.
I'm looking.
No, no way.
You're looking. I'm 87, like 87, right?
80, 86? Yeah.
This guy... I'm looking
84. Okay.
Wow. Hey,
okay.
You know what Jake's pick is when we get to 84.
I don't even remember how to filter.
It's a good thing I get
I don't
two.
Even remember how to filter through date on this goddamn thing. So, okay. All right.
Who's
so
starting?
Who's gonna fire this off? Wolf, you said you wanted to. Bring
I'll
up
go
the
last because I have okay. I have a number of picks ready just in
Tell
case.
You what, Sinistar's got I'll a go number first. One finger. You go ahead and go first, man.
Yeah. Well, mine are likely not to be duplicated. A, because I've already told you all what they were in our Marco Polos, and B, minor PC games. So my runner up is. My runner-up for 1991 is Might and Magic 3 for the PC, for DOS.
Okay.
Can I just say, I'm really disappointed you didn't pick the Bard's Tale construction set, what which was hell? Notably I released in 1991 to critical office. Acclaim?
I'm apparently, I got busted.
This asshole is just butting into everybody's houses this month. Christ almighty. I had to kick him out of mine last week.
Breaking and entering is Sinistar's nickname in high school. Yeah.
B&E Sinistar.
B&E Sinistar. Yeah. Yeah. All right. What did you say, Jake? Because I was busy getting yelled at by my brother.
You can ask him. How come you didn't pick the Bard's Tale construction set, which was notably released in 1991?
Oh, Bard's Tale construction set that would have been, you know what, that's my bronze for 1991.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Acceptable. No, okay.
Might and Magic, actually it's kind of funny because Might and Magic 3, the Might and Magic series is very similar in a lot of ways to Bard's Tale games, so I guess I'm kind of picking a natural successor to the Bard's Tale series, at least until, you know, the newer games came out very recently. But no, it's a great RPG. It's in the Might and Magic world, they kind of took, so there are, you know, your standard kind of dungeons, run-of-the-mill dungeons, but they also kind of treat the overworld as a little bit of a dungeon as well. There's no everything is on a grid, even when you're out in, you know, the middle of the forest, even when you're going from town to town, even when you're going, you know, everything is that 3D grid, you know, style. And, you know, all of the monsters, one of the things I appreciate about this game is all of the monsters are basically visible. It's not one of those games where you take three steps and you have a random encounter. You have the ability to, you know, shoot arrows, et cetera, at monsters as they're coming toward you. Very D&D-esque. You have a party of six. One of the things I love about this game is, much like Wolfenstein and that ilk did, your characters' faces change based on their status. So if they're poisoned, or if they're, you know, hurt, or if they're, you know, et cetera, and a lot of them are actually very funny faces as well. They kind of make these goofy faces if they're say, you know, poisoned or that sort of thing. But great RPG, large in scope. You know, we're talking tens, if not hundreds of hours of gameplay, and available on GOG if you want to play them on modern hardware.
Yeah, that's the thing with those games is I missed so many of those, like that era of gaming. I really need to go back and play some of them. I know they run on the Mister, I think, for the most part. And if they don't, mm-hmm. GOG mm-hmm. is like godsend for playing retro titles because they run so well, the package they have, right?
Brother of Sin and I, a couple Christmases ago, it wasn't Might and Magic, or was it Might and Magic 3 that we decided
to
do?
Magic.
Or was
you were talking 4? About, you did the speed up fight, didn't you?
It was either 3 or 4. It was either World of Xene or 3. I think it was 3. Yeah, and we used the Mr. AO486 core to do that.
Yeah.
You sent me a video of you guys fighting like the final boss on that or something, I thought, didn't you?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Am I remiss? You've talked about Might and Magic 3 on numerous occasions, if I'm not forgetting. Is this like one of your favorite games of all time, wasn't it?
I really have liked the Might and Magic series, at least up through the World of Xene, which is 4 and 5 combined. It was one of those games where they basically, you could buy 4, you could buy 5, but if you had both, it actually combined them. And then you could actually portal between the areas in 4 and 5. So
that's
really
rad.
Like those. I think GOG actually sells it essentially as World of Xene at this point. Yeah. So For those watching the video, Werewolf has his background is currently Might and Magic 3. The art is amazing. I love the art.
I was gonna say that looks like an office.
Yeah.
Like I'm coming into work.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think is actually one of the guilds, if I remember right.
Mm. So Celestial Office of Assembly. That's what that's
about. Yeah, exactly. There. So no, and then the other thing I remember being a teenager when I played this, a young teenager when I played this, of course I was impatient and didn't want to go through the rigmarole of actually leveling up. And this was one of those games that I was able to actually take the save and pull out a hex editor and find all of my stats and adjust them. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Nice. All right. Strong pick.
Yeah, that is my runner up for game of the year for 1991.
Runner up. Fantastic. Okay.
All right.
Jake, are you interested or would you like me to go next?
No, I'm.
You need more time? You need more time?
No. I'm going to pick.
Okay.
I have to, you know what? Screw it. I have to take The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. I have to pick it. And that says, Moby Games says that came out in 91. That game is one of my favorite games of all time. I know I keep saying Link's Awakening, Link to the Past. It's hard for me to pick, but Link to the Past did so much for me as a gamer, as a kid. It was the first game I played on the Super Nintendo. It's one I still go back to even today to play. The randomizer is still a blast to play now. The ROM hacks are great. I mean, that game set the bar so high for that action-adventure kind of gameplay. Just the dungeons and everything. I mean, anytime I play a Zelda game now, I go back and compare it to Link to the Past and whether or not it's better than Link to the Past. And a lot of times it's not. So
that is my favorite Zelda. So I am applauding your pick.
Mm-hmm. It seems Jake really listens to the MPs here. Super.
But was that one of yours?
This one here,
it was
this
one of
one
his,
I was
yes.
Pick, but that's fine. I found a backup.
I thought you were picking the other one.
Of the whole thing is you specifically said that much like my wife, you know, I listen to you guys all the time and then shook your head. Okay. So it's clear.
I'm taking it back.
You really don't.
I'll pick something else.
I don't care.
Hold on. Chard, I got something for you. I'll DM it to you.
I got some stuff. I'm looking at a nice little list and I went, oh, I didn't know that was 91. So I'm good.
Chard, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that was...
You're okay.
This is where the podcast falls apart, everybody.
Yeah,
we totally apologize, derailed. But no, it's fine. Now infighting.
I thought you were taking Sonic.
Just call Jake a track 17. It's fine.
Three games. Oh,
wow.
That's fine.
Jesus.
So let me gush about Link to the Past a little bit. I Link to the Past was one of the first Super Nintendo games that I really sat down and wanted to play. It was a game that I was like, this looks amazing. I love the original Legend of Zelda. It took me several years to get into Link's Adventure. So, you know, going back into the same kind of, you know, isometric top-down, you know, running around doing the roguelike type stuff. I absolutely loved this game. I loved this game all the way up into my 40s and continuously played randomizers on this and did races and things. I freaking love this game. This might be, if Final Fantasy did not touch Super Nintendo at any time, this would be one of my all-time favorite Super Nintendo games ever made. It still holds up today. I think it's still super beautiful. The music is memorable and it's fun to listen to and hum along while you're running around the overworld. I love everything about this game. There's never a moment where I've been like, you know what? I'm tired of playing this, because as soon as I fire it up, I can't stop playing it. It's so good. It's almost like an addiction. Like I have to not play it so I can get other things done, because the minute I fire that thing up, ain't nothing happening. I'm playing the hell out of this until it's done. I love the switching between the dark world and the real world and everything. I just thought it was a really good story. It's a great twist on things, and it almost felt like they took the original Zelda and made it, you know, into the next set of Link to the Past and just cleaned it up and made it better and made it more fun. And I can't say enough positive things about Link to the Past. I think this game is easily one of the best games made in 1991 ever. So Jake, I love your pick.
Wow, Shard, you like this game so much. Maybe you should have picked this one. I know.
Maybe next time I won't be so late to the party on that one, huh? Next time I'll just keep my secrets to myself.
Now, here's a funny thing about this game. I absolutely love this game. I've played through it a number of times. I played through it on a Game Boy Advance when it came out there. A couple of my friends, when we were like 10 years older, when this came out, like, we all had Super Nintendos. We were all playing through this, right? I think me and one of my friends both got softlocked with the key at Death Rock.
I have heard of this.
And that sucked. So we both had to start over. That was very painful. But otherwise, this game is absolutely amazing. I wonder if that got patched out of subsequent versions, like release revisions. But I've also tried playing through this with the randomizer, not just by itself, but like the Super Metroid Zelda 3 randomizer. And I love this game. This is kind of the bar for 2D Zelda in my mind.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree with that more. I think this game just carries the system on its back for the most part. I don't know if there's very many Zeldas beyond this. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I love Wind Waker. I love Twilight Princess and all the other ones but this one, it just screams like perfection in the world of Zelda, in my opinion. There's not much that I can say. I don't even think there's anything about it that I don't like. Like, I can't say, one thing I don't care for is blank. I don't see that. I freaking love this game. It's so well done.
Yeah, really, I can't think of a single flaw for me in this game. And like, when I say I go back and forth between Link's Awakening and Link to the Past, it's just because they're so similar. But yeah, I can't think of a single flaw in this game. This game is, to me, is like a perfect Nintendo game, like really from top to bottom. I love how long it is, right? Like you said before, Char, there's a light and a dark world. You don't get that anymore, even in modern Zeldas. There's no way there's that many dungeons in the modern Zeldas. It's crazy how much is packed into this cart. It's really something special.
Yeah, I know. Fully aware how special this game is.
Yeah, I actually streamed a good portion of this game a few years ago. And it was funny. I was like, I'm going to stream this game. I haven't played it in years. And one of the things I realized as I was streaming it is I had forgotten how long this game is, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beefy game. It's definitely can take up a good portion of your time. This is a funny story, and I'll try and make it brief so we can move on to the rest of the stuff. But most of you know my good friend Lord Optic. When we were growing up together, he used to have his first apartment was somewhere based in the Sacramento area, and I used to come up from my parents' house and hang out with him on the weekends. And one night during a pretty rough relationship that I was having that had separated, he came to his apartment. I had already been there, and I was on his beanbag chair playing Link to the Past, completely depressed. And he was like, "You good, dude?" And I'm like, "I was trying to save Zelda. At least someone's going to get their friend saved today." And so we fondly remember that day, because that was kind of it's funny now. It wasn't then, but it's funny now. It was,
yeah,
it was even my comfort game to go to when things were shitty. I would fire that thing up and play it. So fun stuff.
Nice.
Real shame that I didn't get around to picking that one, though. So that's a terrible waste. But tell you what, Jake, if you're good to go, sir, I'll go ahead and call out my my second place. Is that what we're doing? Second
your runner up. Runner up. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna hover around a certain system that I grew up with specifically. I didn't realize that according to Moby, this came out around this time. So this is quickly pushed.
I think I know what you're gonna pick.
I don't know if you do, because this is a pretty off the cusp. I don't talk about this one very often, but I rented this game hundreds of times for my Sega. I played the crap out of it, and I did not realize it was released in 91. I'm going with my runner up is Road Rash. Road Rash motorcycle combat game. I love Road Rash. I love this game. I love how stupid it is and how fun it is just to kick people off of their bikes, and you're flying through the air, and when you hit a car, you literally launch your body for miles and miles, and you can see your bike dragging behind you. There's a code, I'll never forget it, there's a code that gives you a super bike that gets you like, that can get up to like 250 miles per hour or something, some asinine number that no human being should be going. And when you get that and you hit a car on that, you literally fly through half the map. It's hilarious. I loved the physics in this game. For a front or back view racing type game, the physics in this game is freaking phenomenal. You hit a bump, you go and you fly through the air. You can kick people on the box, but off their bikes while they're flying. You get chains and billy clubs and bats. It's super brutal. But it's Sega, so it's not like you see blood flying all over the place. You're not decapitating people. Actually, Sinistar got me Road Redemption, which is kind of a remake homage to Road Rash. And when I found that, or when he got that for me, I played that game for like 4 days straight. I absolutely love Road Rash, and I'm super pumped to see that it was released, according to this, in 91. So, lucky you, Jake. I've got some backups. Road Rash is a phenomenal game. You can outrun the cops. Like, the cops are trying to chase you down. You could knock the cops off of their bikes. I mean, it's a total mess. You hit cows. You can hit people sitting on the sideline just rooting you on. It's a mess of a game, and it's so simple and simplistic. I've never beaten it because it's impossible to beat. But I love Road Rash, and I have to put this on my list as one of my favorite games from 91. So if anybody has any remnants, I bet Sinistar does, because he and I were talking about Redemption in the past. So,
I mean, I only played this on the 3DO, but I love Road Rash as well. Honestly, I love any bike game where you can, you know, kick the other players, right, or kick the computer, right, or whatever. It's one of the reasons that I love the adventure game Full Throttle. It almost has a Road Rash-esque, you know, beat in the center of it. And so, yeah. I love any motorcycle game where you can kick your other, you know, the NPCs. So I'm in.
I mean, later on when they released this for PlayStation 1, I believe they had a remake come out. They started adding the soundtracks to it, and you had Soundgarden's Kickstand on here, and you fire up the game.
Rusty Cage.
I got loose and I threw up. I was like, oh, it's so on awesome! The road rage to freaking Soundgarden right now, which is, you know, Seattle based.
On the 3D, one of my favorites. On the 3DO, it was Rusty Cage.
Yeah, Rusty Cage was another one. It's cool. Road Rash needs to be on the list.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic game.
Nice. Just love it. No matter how far you go flying from your bike, he just gets up and he just makes that long run back. Yeah, it's just, especially with the super bike, you go flying when you hit something, and he'll spend the minute running. I love it.
Yep,
it's the progression of Excite Bike.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
Well, so Road Rash is my runner up.
I'm down.
Sweet. All right.
Okay.
Wolf.
So, well, that gives us GP's runner up, right?
Oh, we do a GP. Oh, we want to do GP's now.
Yeah, okay. We should give it.
Yeah,
his
let's
nods,
do GP's.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. You want to do his, the first one?
Well, I imagine the one you'll know more about would be his runner-up.
Maybe. I didn't play this one as much as I'd like to, but it's still...
I've never played it.
All right, well, GP's first runner-up, I believe, is Super Tecmo Bowl. Is it Tecmo Super Bowl or Super Tecmo Bowl?
Super Tecmo Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. It is, everybody knows Super Tecmo Bowl. It's still around today. You can get all kinds of different ROMs, and they've actually updated the teams to current rosters like today. You can still play the old 8-bit version on the Nintendo or on an emulator or whatever with the current players of the teams for those football teams. It's really cool. There's a lot of people that'll still do computer-generated scoring, so they'll have the computers play one another, and they'll do like Super Bowl predictions, or they'll do, you know, championship predictions with Super Tecmo Bowl, and it's fun to watch. It's a classic sports game, classic football game. I'm a big football fan, but I didn't play a lot of this growing up. I didn't get into it until the sports games I played a lot of were like Joe Montana 92, which I believe I have. If you got your bingo or cards
Madden,
out.
I think it's the one I played as a kid was Madden. Yeah.
Madden's another one. I mean, Madden's still around today, still releasing that one. But we'll save that one for the sports episode. Tecmo Super Bowl is
a classic. Yeah,
it's an absolute classic and certainly deserves to be somewhere on this list in some fashion. People still play it today. Like I said, it's still running around doing its thing. So Super Tecmo Bowl is dope and would highly recommend it. So that's one that he definitely wanted to bring up and add to the at least the runner up. So there's also some kind of jet sweep that you can do or run play where you could just grab the ball and run for freaking forever and no one can touch you. There's a lot of cheating in this game, I believe, that can be done. So but it's a great game. I definitely dig it. So GP, we love you. Good job. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
All right. Wolf, what are you bringing to the table, my friend?
My choice is Out of This World or Another World, depending on the region.
Oh, good pick.
Was that 91?
It was 91. Oh, it came out on DOS game. In 91. Mm. So, Out of This World, this is one of those games that I'm pretty sure I've gushed about this game numerous times on this podcast already, but just a reminder again, this is a game that came out when the cinematics in games were still something kind of new and exciting, at least for, you know, games at home. And so when my uncle got this, he was like, dude, you gotta see this. Because I was the only one in the family that liked video games as much as him. So he was super excited to show it to me. And
yeah,
the rotoscoping animation. The
Jake and I did a
opening
whole
was just badass.
A whole episode on Another World. That's how much we love this game. Yep. So
that's right. Yeah. We did. Yeah,
we did. No,
this does sound familiar. Yeah.
Did you forget about that one too, Jake?
Yeah, and the little worms biting your fucking
yeah,
foot.
And the little fucking somersault worms with the one tooth that if you don't jump them right, it literally ruins the entire game because you can't get past the first section of the game after you've been chased by the bear monster. Oh no, that's before.
Yeah,
that's
right before the bear. This monster is the one where they did the 20th anniversary edition, which I think who gave me that was Sinistar. Did you give me that?
I think probably. You might have.
Probably.
Yeah, I think you gifted it to me, and it's like it's an awesome way to play that game today. But the original absolutely holds up. I'm a big fan of those collections that Digital Eclipse does. They did one for Karateka and one for Atari 50. I guarantee you, and they just did one for Jeff Minter. I guarantee you, they're going to do one on Eric Chai. I think his name is the guy who did Another World or Out of This World. There's no way they don't do a compilation with his stuff because this game's got to have a great history. The technology with the rotoscoping was definitely ahead of the curve when this game came out. There's not a lot of music, but what music is there sounds great. Just the way that he tells a story in this game without any dialogue is just right. Awesome. It's very mesmerizing in terms of a game. I love this game.
Every time I think of it, I think of that car at the beginning just skidding in and the headlights beaming.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Uh-huh. Guy kicking his feet up on the desk and then going Ultron. You know,
yeah, and then all of a sudden in the pool of water, right? Yeah,
which you can drown in. Fun fact.
Yep.
Yep. Learn that too. Yeah.
That game. Yeah. That game can end really fast, really early.
Yeah.
No, it's so great, good. and the remaster version has the ability to switch with the new updated remastered look, or you can in the middle of the game you can kick it back to the original. Like pixelated kind of look to it. So if you like kind of the retro look from the original, you can change it like there's no like menu. You just press a button and it changes it for you. It's really, really cool. And it's got some really awesome puzzles to progress throughout the entire game that makes you like really think about it. And this is an awesome pick. This is an awesome pick.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I always love when games that get remastered let you toggle back and forth between the new graphics and the old graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's something I find a lot of fun, especially with old games, like, you know, from the 80s or 90s, where, you know, clearly the change is just super drastic. So, yeah, I love when that happens. Yeah. So that's cool that I didn't know that this game did that.
Yep.
Diablo 2 Resurrected is a good example of that. Like,
oh, that's right.
You can hit literally, I think it's tab or whatever, and it's like old graphics.
Yeah.
It goes to show you how like the gameplay still holds up 20, 30 years later, despite what it may look like with the redo. The original gameplay still holds up, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, even if you look at the remaster, which we're seeing behind Wolf right now, it still looks clean. Like it looks like a retro game that came out last year. Like it doesn't look like it's been around for that long since 91. This is such a great game. I was hoping that they'd kind of expand upon something in this form, because the universe is great, that the combat is cool, the story is awesome. And like Jake said, it's so simple. There's not a lot of talking, if any. You just exactly. I mean, you just keep you just play it and follow the story as you play, and it kind of makes sense when you're playing it, even though it doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's a great addition.
Great pick. It's a great pick.
Agreed. All right. Are we going round robin again? Are we going back to the beginning, or are we doing the
loop? I think so.
Okay. Sinistar, you're pulling us back in, baby.
Okay. Well, my game of the year for 1991, I think, is one of the most well-known franchises in video gaming, and that is Lemmings.
Lemmings.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, if you look at the history, there's so much history behind this, but basically, this whole thing basically stemmed from somebody trying to create a character for a different type of game. And they ended up creating this little character that was, you know, it was, they were creating a human-like character for another game, and they ended up creating this character that became what the Lemmings are. Hmm. So if you've been hidden in a box since 1991, Lemmings is a puzzle game where you have, well, lemmings, for lack of a better term, that basically come out of a portal and just start walking. And if you aren't paying attention, they will generally walk to their death of some sort. And then there are different ways that you have to resolve this, where either you have to build a bridge, or you have to, as for those watching the video, bash through walls there. And each lemming can be assigned a role, and so you have climbers, you have the builders that build the, you know, the bridges. When I say bridges, they kind of stack these tiles, so it's an upward, you know, kind of
Stairmaster.
You have fallers that will let out a parachute and slow themselves down so that they don't die crashing into the ground. And then, of course, my favorite are, well, I'm sorry, and then there are stoppers. And stoppers basically just hold out their arms and make it so that the lemmings won't progress past a point. So, you know, if you're about to lose all of your lemmings, you can throw a stopper in and save yourself. And then each puzzle has a limited number of these character types. So you have to solve the puzzle with the limited number of character types. Well, there are also, you know, occasionally leftover lemmings. Or if you're really sadistic and you've completed the goal and there are still lemmings on the screen, there are exploding lemmings. And the only
real
way to get rid of
this... every time I do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The only way to really get rid of the lemmings that are like the stopper lemmings is to make them explode. And then my other favorite feature is, not only is there a one at a time exploder, there is a all exploder button. And they make a little uh-oh and explode. So, but this game was so popular that it had so many expansions. It had sequels. It had, you know, a Christmas Lemmings. Oh no, more lemmings. You know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just one of the greatest puzzlers of all time. But unlike a lot of puzzlers, it's fast paced and a bit of a struggle, because these little lemmings are just going, and you have to deal with it. So, yeah.
I remember this game very fondly coming out of the Super Nintendo, or at least I think
yeah, one same.
Of the systems that had it on.
Yeah.
And I remember absolutely just being totally torn on trying to save all these little assholes' lives, and they just didn't care. And I remember fondly being like, I hate them all. I hope they all fucking die. Because I cannot, they won't listen to me. They're not doing anything I want them to do. So it's what makes me such a good dog parent. Because, you know, I get upset.
Now you have dogs, I was going to say.
It's no different.
Well, when you find the exploder button for your dogs, do not press it.
You know what I love about this game, though?
I haven't been looking.
For this game, except for, like, you know, the sequels and the expansion packs, there's nothing else like this. Nobody's done a Lemmings clone. Not to this degree. Not when you can have, like, 100 of them on the screen at once. Not with these different abilities. The closest I think I can recall is humans, maybe, but that's like 12 humans at once. This is like dozens and dozens of lemmings. It is not only one of the best games in 91, this is also one of the most unique games ever made. It's such a unique puzzle game that just not been duplicated. And I'm surprised nobody's tried doing like an indie version of this or something. Or, right. You know, it's bizarre.
Yeah. I feel like this is a game that kind of stopped getting developed after Lemmings 3D, right? Like Lemmings 3D came along, which
was not good.
Yeah.
No, there was a PSP version of Lemmings, but it was basically a port of this, but redone with better graphics. I had that on the PSP. It was one of my favorite games there, but that's also just like a reboot of this game. Mm-hmm. After that, there's like nothing as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not, but I always felt like Nintendo was trying to make Pikmin like kind of a Lemmings kind of feel, because you had to gather and guide them to their next thing. So
I could see that.
I mean, it's totally loosely based, obviously, but it just felt like it's a very similar where you're gathering the Pikmin up and you're trying to transport them to a safe location. And that's how I kind of felt Lemmings was designed in a similar, at least not gameplay wise and not mechanically wise, but like idea process wise, if that makes any sense. So
fun bit of trivia. I found this out probably a year or two ago. The Amiga version of Lemmings has an intro video. The DOS version does not. I don't think the Super Nintendo version did. It has a little video where the lemmings are in like a hot air balloon, and it's like,
okay,
yeah,
I remember this.
The Genesis version has an intro. I'm wondering if it's the same actually now.
I'll have to look.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right.
Yeah.
Lemmings is a lot of fun. This is another one that, you know, the friend that I was playing Zelda with, we played this a fair amount too via rental. And we'd always get stumped at a certain point and just get really pissed at the game because we could not solve it.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, after a couple months, we'd be like, let's try Lemmings again. And we'll go rent it again.
Well, and it's one of those games where, like, it's like Bubble Bobble. It's got, like, 100 levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right? More. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Genesis had about an extra exclusive 20 levels or something crazy. This is also, I want to call it, too, the Easter egg. Psygnosis did this one, but they also published Shadow of the Beast, which we did a whole episode on. Everybody loves Shadow of the Beast, right? But there's two great levels audio in Lemmings that are using the tree tiles from Shadow of the Beast and the theme song from Shadow of the Beast. And as a kid, I remember playing Lemmings and hearing that tune, and I'm like, that song is jamming. That song is awesome, and it's Lemmings. And then I realized, oh, it's the same song from Shadow of the Beast recently. It's nice. The soundtrack overall in this game is just iconic. I love this game so much. It's an awesome pick.
Thank you.
All right, Jake, let me make sure you're not stealing my next one. What do you
let me,
got?
Let me pull up Charge list again.
Yeah, please.
Say poach ideas. Yeah, no. I got one. I'm sorry, I blanked earlier. Actually, now I'm kind of messed up because I picked Zelda as my runner up. Is it my runner up, or was that actually what I would consider game of the year? Now I'm kind of confused. But the game I picked is still great. Maybe not my personal game of the year, but I think it deserves the title of game of the year for its impact. And
look,
its
we all know you're going.
I'm not taking Pilot Wings, okay? Just, look, I was going to pick Pilot Wings, but I thought Charm was going to take
Dragon's Dogma 2. Just, you even just say Dragon's
Pilot
Dogma
Wings
2.
As the game for the episode. Are you totally just going to dip out on this one?
I should have taken it. Especially,
you better have a backup.
But then I blanked out and picked Zelda by mistake. I don't know why I did that. No, I'm not taking Pilot Wings. I do like Pilot Wings. Don't get me wrong.
You picked Zelda because I said it 400 times and it just stuck in your head. That's why.
Subliminal messaging is what it is. You really are my wife, Chard. No, I'm picking Street Fighter 2, okay, asshole? Street Fighter 2.
Yeah,
because
good one.
When you went to the arcades in 1990, people were probably playing like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and I mean, there's other games too. Like a lot, Capcom
Altered
had
Beast.
Some beat-em-ups. Altered Beast, yes, there's that one too. Oh, Sega had a lot of classics. But then in 91, it sweeped arcades, at least it did my neighborhood, and it's Street Fighter 2. Like a fighting game as a genre really wasn't even a thing, really. I mean, the first Street Fighter didn't make an impact at all in North America, at least in my neighborhoods. But Fighter 2, when that came out, suddenly you had like 3, 4, I think the one arcade I used to go to as a teen had an entire wall devoted to Street Fighter 2. Like, it was insane how much that sweeped the landscape.
Massive.
And there were lines.
People were always putting their quarter up on the top of the cabinet, lining up.
Yep.
And it all started with Street Fighter 2 and the game itself. And while I like the other games in the series, maybe a little bit more, I love Marvel vs. Capcom, all those games that came later, but I still love playing the original Street Fighter 2. It's a great, fantastic game. It's also at a speed that I could play. I'm one of those idiots who keeps playing the normal mode of speed in Turbo. I never play Turbo mode. And it's because I like the original so much in terms of the pacing. But the characters here, Ryu, everybody fucking knows Ryu, Blanka, Chun-Li, E. Honda. These are the classic Street Fighter characters. They exist even in the current version of the game that came out, the game that obviously we all know I'm going to finish this year is my Sisyphean game.
Have
it's
you
on the list.
It yet?
It's going to happen.
Wait, no. There's a Street Fighter 6?
Yeah, there's a 6. And somebody agreed to diamond rank it for some fucking reason. But anyway, but the original was fantastic. I was actually playing the original on the Analog Pocket last night. I'm like, this is great. I love this game. So I think just the sheer impact of this game, both when it came out, but years later, its impact just lasted, even today, is Street Fighter 2. I think it's such a great game.
That's a good pick.
That's a great pick.
I probably, you know, it's good that my dad doesn't listen to the podcast for reasons, because I used to raid his change drawer without him knowing, and I guarantee that probably 80% of it went to Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Sam's Town. I've brought it up on numerous occasions. My friend Mr. Merv knows that place very well. Sam's Town was the first place that I saw Street Fighter 2. And like Jake said, it literally took up an entire wall. It was a big screen TV that had about, I don't know, 4 feet between it and the controllers.
Yeah.
And you would stand next to people and it took up the entire wall. And I walked in there going, what in the world is this? And little did I know that this game was going to be synonymous with everybody's gaming life from that day on. Like Street Fighter 2, let me specify what I'm talking about here. Street Fighter 2 has carried itself so far into now that it is such an icon of a game. It everybody knows arcades by Street Fighter 2. There's nobody in this world. Even if you lived under a rock, you'd pop out of the rock and say, oh yeah, Street Fighter 2. Yeah, I know that. So,
right.
You know, it is so well known between gamers, non-gamers, parents, children, everywhere. Everyone knows about this game. It is
dogs, cats living together.
Mass hysteria. It's an incredible, incredible arcade game. Great pick. And it was one of those games that when they announced it was coming to consoles way later in its life, everybody was freaking out about that. It was like that and Mortal Kombat were like, you're doing what to what? You're bringing that home? You know? So
yeah.
You know, most of us were playing Cyborg Justice saying, we have Street Fighter at home. And that was Street Fighter at home. So, you know.
Yeah, this was a game. The first time I played it was I hadn't even heard of it. I think I was not following the magazines as closely at this point. And my cousin was like, dude, have you played this? And I was like, no, what is that? He was like, okay, come on. We got to go down to the store. And we biked like the 2 miles from his house to the grocery store, down to the Lucky grocery store chain that doesn't even exist anymore. And surprisingly, he had played this quite a few times. I beat his ass.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure I totally got lucky, but I beat his ass. But yeah, this is a game that, you know, my friends and I, we would rent this for the Super Nintendo regularly. And then, of course, it got re-release after re-release. Eventually, you had, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Championship Edition for the Super Nintendo, where you could ramp the speed up to, 10 stars if you put speed. In the code.
Royale with Cheese Edition, yeah.
Yeah, and... With bacon. Man, I actually like putting that in because sometimes my inputs were too fast for the game to register at the normal speed. Because I'm just just put the input. I don't want to do it at a certain pace. So when you ramp it up to 7 or 8, that's about where my input speed is for the moves. And then it's oh yeah, every time you're good. I'm cool. I found it easier at a high speed than a low speed just because it actually...
So...
has a rate that you can enter the codes or the moves.
So Wolf is flexing this episode.
He's totally
No. Had to do it. I think I had to set it to 6 recently when I was trying.
I'm just razzing you, man.
But I mean,
the only way I can pull off the Dragon Punch, honestly, is if I use one of the hitbox controllers behind me, the button layout instead of the joystick. I'm terrible at doing certain joystick motions in Street Fighter. The hitbox is what reignited my whole thing with fighting games lately, because those moves are hard to do.
I suck at doing those things with the analog stick. I kind of need the D-pad.
Yeah,
really.
Okay. I gotta play with a joystick. I gotta play with an old school arcade joystick. I have a really hard time playing it on even on any of the consoles. You know,
I have to be able to mash my palm against it to do the maneuver, right?
You're driving a car.
Yeah. Oh, especially if you're doing Zangief's moves, right? You're
it's a 360.
Yeah.
My stick shift.
This is also the game too where it's my first experience with coming across bootleg arcade games, right? Because bootleg arcade games was a thing, right? The original Ms. Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man was basically a bootleg of Pac-Man, right? That was semi-official with a deal. So Street Fighter 2, I don't know if you guys had ever encountered this, but there's a few people pizza places that had a machine in there, and when they had Street Fighter 2, it was the Rainbow Edition, and I didn't know what the hell that was. I didn't have any references to it in magazines, but there was air fireballs, Blanka was bouncing across the screen, and I found out later it was a bootleg you can actually play today. You can download a copy of it, but there's all kinds of variants of this game, completely illegal, completely unofficial, but they're what led Capcom to making iterations of this game, adding new characters, adding new moves, and the reason why we have air fireballs in some games is because of bootleg editions. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, I don't
going back to,
I played the standard. I didn't play anything that was bootleg.
Yeah,
I remember the red fireball being a glitch, and everybody was how do you get Ryu's red fireball? And it was just a glitch that just happened so often, and then they turned it into
an actual thing to
do later.
No, I was just thinking about the reason. One of the other reasons I need a stick is if I'm doing Guile's razor kick or whatever they call it. I'm holding it down, and then I literally take my thumb and just flip it to the top. Right? You gotta have
that motion, the feeling. It's all in the feel. Yeah. I totally understand. I've been trying to convince my wife to let me get a joystick like a keyboard or a arcade stick for a long time.
You hear the stick when it comes back.
Yep. Right.
If you want to make one, chart, I can help you price it out. There's ways to do it depending on what you want. I can help you with that.
Maybe we'll talk. I know you're the guy to talk to about joysticks and all that stuff. So maybe I'll reach out to you.
Well, good pick.
Good pick. Strong pick.
Yeah.
It's not mine, but it's a strong one.
Well, I'm glad I picked something original this episode.
I love you, Jake.
Instead of Street Fighter 2, that you were going to obviously pick, Chard, what's your pick?
Well, since my game of the year was taken second place for some reason.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to move the one up that I have. But honestly, I've played this game more times than I can count. I've the franchise throughout the life of the Genesis was a game that I just lived by and I played all the time, and I can't not give it love. It was released in 91 and it was officially released in 91. According to this, Shoreline Drive, Redwood City, California, Made in Japan, Mark, 1991 by Sega. Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog is jumping on board. Not for resale. This came with my Genesis. This came with my console. And I thought to myself as a kid growing up, is there anything out there that could be better than Mario and his brother Luigi? And yes, Genesis came through with one of my favorite video game mascots ever devised in Sonic the Hedgehog. I love this game. I played this game for hours when I first got my Sega Genesis. I lived by this game. I got the Chaos Emeralds. Super Sonic wasn't, I don't believe it was introduced until 2 anyways.
No.
But you can get all the stuff. I've beaten the hell out of this game. I even badged this game. I believe I badged this game on RA not too long ago. I love Sonic. I love the Sonic franchise, at least up until Sonic and Knuckles and a couple games beyond that. But I think Sega CD is pretty much where it ended its love for me. But just recently, actually, last year, I believe I played... Oh, what is the one you talked me into getting, Jake, that I freaking...
Sonic Mania. It's excellent.
Fantastic game. Absolute callback to the original. Absolutely adored it. So that kind of brought back some nice little nostalgia for me. But this game, my buddy and I growing up played this all the time. I still have the original game that I have with the jewel case or the clamshell. It's even got the instructions and the game inside. But you can't sell that.
You can't sell that.
I can't resell it. Nor would I. I'm going to hold on to Sonic for a while. So, my game of the year for 1991 is Sonic the Hedgehog.
This is a game that honestly, when I first get any retro console, whether it's a Mr. or Retro Pie or something, there's a couple games that I spin up. Obviously Mario, which I've never completed. Fuck 8-1 or Fuck 8-2. But I essentially I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go spin up Sonic on Genesis. Like, it's one of those games that I almost always spin up when I have a new retro console. So
it's such a good anchor. It's a great anchor for retro gaming and I think a great addition to, you know, the retro genre. When it came out in 91 and my mom brought home the Sega Genesis, I was just like beside myself with how cool everything was, how cool the character was. You could go, you know, you'd do the fast thing, you'd roll up in the ball. It just was a really well done platform. And the subsequent sequels 2 and 3, Sonic and Knuckles edition with the attachable game on top where you can play, you know, the other games together, but with the added addition of Knuckles and some other things. Absolutely cool. I have that game back there too, but great franchise. I think I like Sonic far more than I like Mario, but Mario has more games that are better than Sonic has beyond the Sega Genesis. I will argue that, but if it were a mascot type thing, Sonic, absolutely 100% game of the year for 1991.
Yeah, you know, nice. Maybe it's another episode we should do in the future is best packing game. Because when the Genesis first came out, it wasn't Sonic. It was like Altered Beast, I want to say. Like, yeah, Genesis, when it first came out, was all about the arcade ports, which were fine. I like Altered Beast on the Genesis. That's fine. But it was much better than the arcades. But Sonic really pushed that system so early on. And that's the system seller. And it's one of the best packing games, I think.
Agreed.
Didn't they also pack in one of the Madden games or something also early on?
There's a sports pack. There's a sports one with Madden. There was Altered Beast, and I think Forgotten Worlds was an earlier pack-in title, I think. If I'm not wrong. But yeah, but Sonic is the one you wanted as a kid, for sure.
Well, yeah.
It's an episode. Let's talk about it then.
Yeah.
I remember what brought my mom to buying the Genesis in the first place was my grandmother, of all people, had purchased a Sega Genesis. I don't know why she did, but she did. And it came with Alter Beast and Arnold Palmer Golf. It was another game that was added. My family were pretty avid golfers, so I thought that was pretty funny to have that. But I do specifically remember having Alter Beast, and then when Mom got me mine had Sonic in it. So,
you know, Grandma liked the Alter Beast. She did. You know, that's the game of choice. Yeah.
Power up. Wise from your way.
Welcome to your doom.
All right,
I love that game.
Nice. All right, well, GP's game of the year.
GP's next game of the year, his not runner-up, as it were, is one that a number of us have gushed about a few times on this podcast. It would be Final Fantasy 2/4 for the Super Nintendo. And honestly,
nobody likes that one. Who likes that one?
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Final Fantasy 4 was my first real RPG, and dear God, it was awesome. I cannot gush about this game enough. This is probably the bar for me as far as RPGs. When I'm playing an RPG, it's if it doesn't give me this feel that I got from this as my first RPG, it's usually not going to last and I'm not going to play through it. Because this is one of the first games where I got emotionally invested in the story and the characters and wanted to know what was going to happen next and how they would resolve it.
Yep.
And this game absolutely delivered on that front. And yeah, there's certain plot points that are a little weak, but for the most part, the game nails the overarching story. Nothing feels completely out of left field. It all just kind of fits and works. And the mechanics in this game were really solid for an RPG in 91. Spoony Bard was my nickname in high school.
Nice.
Yeah. What can I say that hasn't already been said 100 times about this game? I mean, I based my avatar on Twitch based on my favorite character in all the Final Fantasies. And I know he's a little bitch, but I don't care. He's got really cool armor. I love this game. This game is what got me into understanding that a video game might have music, but then a video game may have a score. Like it is designed to invoke feeling. It is designed to invoke joy and happiness and sadness and emptiness and all that stuff. The twist at the end where you think you're chasing the big bad throughout the game and then it turns out you're not. It's very M. Night Shyamalan and that whole, like, surprise, this isn't the enemy you're looking for. Like, that whole, the whole deal. And like Wolf said, being invested in the story, I mean, you start out part of a huge guard and something's not right, and you pick up on that right away, and you get sent off, and then this whole thing just explodes into this whole thing. You didn't play game. When we were kids, we played games because they looked cool and they had all right mechanics. This game took me on a adventure of a lifetime that, like Wolf said, raised the bar. Listen, I was a Genesis kid, man. I couldn't find anything in my brain that even compared to Final Fantasy 2/4 for the Super Nintendo here in the States. Nothing. I tried. Shining Force 2, closest thing I got. Phantasy Star 4, closest thing I got. Both great games. I'm not going to argue that they're not good games, but they're not Final Fantasy 4, man. They just don't touch it. And this game made me the RPGer that I am today. Like this game took, because I played one and I hated it. We got stuck in the cave finding Astros, Assholestros. And then we played this and we were like, this is redemption. This is amazing. And yeah, I've gushed enough. I've gushed on long enough. This game is fantastic.
Nice. I'll just say real quick, if I ever say Final Fantasy is why is this game so weird, just remind me that there's a space whale and the moon in the original Final Fantasy 4, because that game got weird in a good way. I mean, I could appreciate the game. It's not my thing because of the grind fest, but I love the music. I love the characters. It's a great game.
My friends and I loved this game so much. He had, I'm sure you all knew somebody that had just like a mountain worth of Legos, right? No, this kid had a mountain of Kinects, if you guys remember those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we built both airships, the hovercraft and the big whale, out of Kinects. Like, to the degree that the airships, like, we built the little hook that could reach down and pick up the hovercraft and reel it up and carry it. Like, we were nerds about this one.
Oh, man. My friends and I used to, when we were young and we'd play the imagination game, we'd pretend that we were Cecil and Kane, and he had a big trampoline. So guess who used the big trampoline all the time? This guy. I was always jumping in the air, jumping on the trampoline and using that. It's this, nice. this game has done so much for me as growing up in my childhood to now that I can't say enough. I love Six. Six is fantastic, but this one just like sits with me as a person. It's like in my DNA, like how much I love this game. I still listen to the soundtrack. It's just too good. It's a great, great game. Great game. So good job, GP.
Nice.
Yeah. Good job, GP.
Hopefully we've done it enough.
All right. Take us home, Wolf.
All right. My final pick, my game of the year for 1991 is, well, I'll not belabor it. It's Toe Jam and Earl.
Yes. Okay. I love Toe Jam and Earl.
I love the soundtrack in this game. I love the sense of humor in this game. The wackiness of just all the power-ups, the enemies, everything. Like you get the mailbox that comes to life. You don't know if it's going to be an evil mailbox or a mailbox that you can mail order from.
One of the early mimics.
You're like, oh man, I hope this is a mailbox where I can buy stuff because I got a ton of money and no presents. And all of a sudden, and it's like, oh shit, chases you off the edge of an island and you're back on the previous level dealing with the three boogeymen and two sets of bees that you didn't want to deal with anymore. You thought you were done with them, right?
Yeah.
So,
it's also roguelike on a console. Like, that was never happening back then, right?
This was like the roguelite at the time. Before roguelites were a thing, this was a roguelite. I love that to hell. Like I think I played through the fixed worlds one time, and aside from that I was like, no, I'm tired of experiencing the same thing. I like random worlds, it's more fun.
And I mean
lo and behold, I'm still like, I'm huge on roguelites to this day. My last few games were Moonlighter, Spiritfall, Balatro. I'm sure there was one before that. Like, it's my jam. So apparently it's been my jam for decades.
It's been your toe jam.
My toe jam.
No, toe jam.
Yeah.
This game epitomizes the 1990s. It absolutely has got the hip hop soundtrack that was super popular back then. It's got the dude with the backwards hat, the Flava Flav alien with his fucking medallion and his goddamn backwards hat and sneakers. The big dude with the Bermuda shorts and the sunglasses. It's like Ren and Stimpy before Ren and Stimpy was a thing. You know, it's such a great game. You get the hula girls and you can't walk. You get stuck like dancing with the hula girls. The Cupid guy will mess up your controls if you get shot by his bow and arrow. You got the freaking dentist leaping around screaming.
Yeah, he's basically the dentist from
Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah.
You can sneak up on Santa and scare presents out of his sack.
Presents out of him. I mean,
it's hilarious. Yeah.
And a lot of if I remember right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but the guy did a lot of this work like after hours, like in a booth, like trying to get this game complete. And he did all the voices himself, the guy that I think designed it. So the many and the laughing dentist and the boogeyman and all that stuff, I believe he did all the voiceovers himself because he was trying to like do it fairly inexpensively and put this thing together. Find us on Discord and tell us we're wrong. But collecting the ship parts and going from level up, running from the bees, the boogeyman being the scariest enemy running around. I love Toe Jam and Earl. We played this game I don't think I ever finished this game because it's just too goddamn hard. The randomizer just makes it real. I mean, it's not even a randomizer, but it's the randomizer portion of this game made it exceptionally difficult. And my patience as a child was not strong. So,
yeah, that was another aspect of the roguelite thing to it, too, was all the presents were always mixed up. And Yeah. Some of those presents could kill you. Some of those presents would give you an extra life. Some of those presents would randomize all the presents and you're starting fresh. You have no idea what anything is.
Yep. So- yep.
And that's a straight callback to potions and rogue, right? Where it's just you have to learn the colors for that run. What color potion means what this time. I love that.
Yeah.
And how much it makes sense that a present is random. It makes totally makes sense. Yeah, this game oozes charm, man. I do like
it. It really does. The soundtrack in this game is amazing. I have an instrumental version of it on CD.
That's got to be good. That's got to be
good. It's really good because they went hard with the funk and jazz aspects of it.
They did a re-release, not a re-release, but they brought back Cho Jam and Earl Again called
a remake.
Into the Groove, I think, not too long ago.
Yeah, back in the groove.
Yeah, and it's you know, the second one was sorry, it was a dumpster fire. It wasn't very good.
It was not as good.
But they brought back again the isometric downward camera, exploring the the planets like this, centered around the new remake, and it's really, really well done. I feel like they did a hell of a job bringing it back.
I think the second one was the only one that strayed from this formula. Which, I mean, the second one in terms of, visuals, charm, sense of humor, all of it, it was all still there, but the gameplay sucked compared to Toe Jam and Earl 1.
Yeah.
Right.
But there was a Toe Jam and Earl 3 on the original Xbox, and it added another character or two that were not previously there, and it was four players at once. So it was that same sort of gameplay style, but it was proper 3D and... I don't think it landed as well, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a niche,
Did
audience.
Did we do an episode on
this
game? I think we did an episode on this one early on.
I think we did do an episode on Toe Jam and Earl at some point.
Yeah, I think you guys did.
I'll have to link it. Yeah,
this is a great game. But, this is a fantastic game and makes me want to play it again. Makes me want to play the remake. As a matter of fact, I have it, so I might fire that up. I wonder if that's Steam Deck compatible. I should try that on the Steam Deck.
I would think
that guy, I'm watching the dentist chase after the guy and your playthrough. I'm getting anxiety.
The worst ones in my mind were the bees, the dude with the lawnmower, the woman with the kid in the shopping cart, and the absolute worst was the phantom ice cream truck.
The phantom ice cream truck. Okay, yeah.
You know what I love about this one is how broken the items could be for a run, the rocket shoes or the wings. Like you get certain items and it just suddenly you just clear a stage. And it felt so broken in the best possible way, especially when you're playing in on a random world. That's good.
And it's pretty consistent for me that getting to stage 14 is about where my presents run dry and I'm struggling every time. If I can make it over that, the next three or four levels, if I can make it to 18, I'm golden. But if I can't, that runs over. If it doesn't improve quickly, it's over.
Right.
And the sense of humor in this game, the jokes between levels on the elevators and, sometimes they just say random stuff when you're picking things up. All right, I got a buck or, ew, gross lettuce,
Right.
Moldy cheese. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I like the when you drink the root beer, he burps for a good 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, and you can wake up sleeping enemies because of the burps.
Yeah.
Occasionally, your dude, you'll be sneaking along and one of them just sneezes because you got bad RNG.
Oh, the pack.
And it wakes him up.
I love the pack of nerds. God, I love this game. It's so good.
Yeah.
That was a good pick. This is a great pick. It's a good one. I've only played this as an adult. I never played it as a younger person. So, but what I have played of it, I've appreciated, and I should go back and play some more.
Yeah, this was a game that again the same guy that I played Sonic with. We fire this thing up and we play the hell out of this game. Love Toe Jam and Earl. Actually, my mom sat in with me on one of my streams while I was playing Toe Jam and Earl and hung out with me on stream while I was playing this game. She had no idea what the hell was going on. So I had a good time.
You should tell her, talk to Grandma. Grandma knows all about Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, I know, right? She had the first Genesis of the family.
That's right.
All right.
Awesome. Good pick.
Good picks.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're at an hour and a half, so I don't even think we need to do our honorable mentions unless we're interested in doing that.
No, we started with honorable mentions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can I just say the one that I probably should have mentioned, but I didn't? I'll just be real brief, but it's Final Fantasy Adventure on the Game Boy.
That's a good
I love that game so much. And just for the soundtrack alone, it's so great. But I mean, I have to pick the Zelda Link to the Past is better. But Final Fantasy Adventure is a
great
one.
Right out of my book. Thank you. You even had a backup and you still stole mine.
Look, I don't pay attention all the time. I was busy setting things up and stuff, you know?
Us discussing and me and you saying, what were you going to pick? And I specifically said, I'm picking these ones. And you were, and then I thought everybody was like, yeah, Chart's picking those. That's the ones he picks.
So to be honest, I was confused with the rules. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell Sonic is 91, but on Wikipedia it says 89. I don't understand these dates
and
releases.
You know what?
I know.
Right there, it's not going to
I know. I had it too.
I had a list of six games because I was concerned that they'd get picked because I was like, all right, these are all good games. There's a good chance. And I'm kind of surprised nobody else had Out of This World or Toe Jam and Earl. I had like Sonic the Hedgehog, Final Fantasy IV, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which I mean, depending on how hard you like your game, yeah, it's up there. And I had Mystical Ninja as my, like, just in case everybody picked everything else.
Right.
Nice.
No, he picked Castlevania, Super Castlevania.
To pick Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I have to be in a mood because I still hate that game right now. So, that game and I are not friends.
I'm just glad you guys picked Genesis games. That's my hope is that Genesis was not being overshadowed by the Super Nintendo. Because when we're talking the 90s, right, the 90s was heavy, heavy on Super Nintendo. And there were still some gems on the Genesis, and I don't think people appreciate it as much.
1991 is when Sega really found their momentum with the Genesis, particularly in North America. So it makes sense.
No, there's definitely some really, really strong things that came out for the Genesis during that time frame. Streets of Rage was going to be one that I had mentioned. I love Streets of Rage. I played the hell out of that one growing up too. And I was wondering if that was going to fall, if I should put that one in there with Road Rage or not. But I played so much more Road Rage than I played Streets of Rage. So
Streets of Rage 1 was good, but it wasn't nearly as good as Streets of Rage 2. So I'm sure we'll see Streets of Rage 2 at a later episode of this.
You know, if we want to argue that, I think Sonic 2 is far superior than Sonic 1, but
I don't know about that.
No, I
agree. Likes 2. Yeah. Not wrong.
The only reason you hate that game.
There's other reasons.
Anyway.
But yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a great
gentlemen.
This is a great list. What do you
think? I think there's likely a fire going. if Brother of Sin doesn't just kick my ass out for crashing his cottage, there's probably a fire, and I have the makings for s'mores, but instead of the graham cracker and chocolate, I have chocolate hazelnut Oreos that I'm going to smash cooked marshmallow between.
I was hoping you were going to say instead of the chocolate and the graham crackers, I have whiskey.
Well, I do. I actually have some Whistle Pig Piggyback bourbon. I found it finally. Not the rye, but the bourbon.
Oh, I need to try the bourbon.
I finally found it. Yeah.
All right. Not a drinking episode. Anyways.
Right.
Guys, this is a great list. It's a fantastic list. I'm super pumped that everybody brought, even though mine was totally pilfered. I'm really happy with all the games. Yeah, I know, as a runner up of all things. Honestly, I think these lists are great. Lemmings, Might and Magic, obviously Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, Techno Bowl, Toe Jam and Earl, Street Fighter 2. All these games are fantastic. And I feel really I feel like these games were iconic with 1991. Like, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody else not picking a similar group of games for 1991. So I think that is a fantastic list of stuff. Does there anything that anybody would like to say that they're doing? Can we go round robin? Jake, what do you got on your list there, brother?
When I'm not playing Dragon's Dogma 2. No, I did pick up Turbo Kid. I think, Wolf, you did as well. So that's actually, I played only like the barest of 20 minutes. Guys, it might be game of the year. No, I don't know. It's pretty solid, though, with the shooting and the melee attacks.
It actually might be. If the demo is any indication, it actually is really good.
Yeah, I want to watch the movie too before we do an episode, but it's a Canadian made game based on a Canadian movie, and it's wild. So I've been playing that. I do want to just quickly shout out before you tell everybody you can find and listen to us, Chard, but Google Podcasts. If you listen to the show on Google Podcasts, they are ending support for the app because that's what Google does. They take apps that are successful and they randomly can them. So you can still listen to our show in any other podcast app. So just be aware that Google Podcasts is being taken away sometime this summer.
Well, so they've moved it to YouTube.
Yeah, they're moving it to YouTube Music. So
right,
It's difficult for our show because we also do the live stream on YouTube on Fridays. If you listen to us on YouTube Music, you're going to get the audio from the video version of the episode. Right. If you want to listen to the audio version of the podcast, please use Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We're literally in any other app, Pocket Cast, all those. If there is an app that you decide to use and we are not there, then please at me on Twitter at SickJake or on our Discord or send an email to podcast@pressbcancel.com and I will make sure we get added to that application because I want to make sure that you can listen to us no matter what you use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not snobs about where we put our stuff. We'll put it freaking everywhere. We'll play it on a radio in the water tower outside of my town. I don't give a crap.
Whoa. If we get a deal like what's his name on Joe Spotify? Rogan? If we get a deal like Joe Rogan, guys, I'm sorry. I'm pulling us from everything but Spotify. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow. All right. That's good information. Yeah. As Jake said, please find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, all the other places. And if you are using Google, we're sorry. We can't do anything about that. But you can find us in other places. You don't have to pay for it. You can find us and listen to us free, or you can chill with us here on YouTube like normal on every Friday. Most Fridays, because like last Friday, sometimes life just gets in the way and we just don't have plans to back ourselves up. But we're working on that. We're hoping by the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some good banked episodes so that we can have a good string of stuff for you guys to listen to, whether we are physically here or not. So apologize for missing out last week, but life happens. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, if you guys are not watching the new Fallout show, get off your asses and do so. One of the greatest television shows. I've never been excited for a TV show to come out, and I can't remember when as I was for Fallout to come out and to literally answer all of my prayers for this show. It's got humor, it's got satire, it's got little bits of the game that are just enough that, you know, you go, oh, that's in there. But people that don't play it, like my wife, can totally enjoy the show regardless of what you know what's going on or not. I've always loved the goofy 50s motif and the whole Cold War time frame thing.
Post-apocalyptic
nuclear warfare thing. Fantastic show. It's from the guys that did Westworld. So if anybody's watched Westworld, it's got a very similar feel, and the soundtrack is absolutely spectacular with all the 50s crooners and old school music from back in the day. I freaking love it. So Wolf and I have been watching it separately on our own, but he and I both agree. I think it's the best TV show that's out there right now. But then you'll find me watching Frasier and still claim that that's one of the best TV shows out there right now. So that's
me. If I weren't breaking and entering this weekend, I'd be watching Fallout.
Yeah. Do so. When you get back to your house, put that thing on and binge all 8 episodes. All of them were released at the same time, so there's no waiting. Yep. And fun fact, I know some of you guys are like, Amazon's going to have commercials. Well, I'll tell you what, I get 2 commercials, and then I haven't seen a commercial in the middle of the show since. So
I was very surprised. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is going to suck. It's going to have so many commercials. But no, just one or two at the beginning, maybe 30, 45 seconds at most,
and they're gone.
And you're done.
Yep. And it's a straight line shot. Awful. There's no breaking of like cliffhangers or anything. And Walt Goggins and all the actors in it are so good. So go check that out. Check out Fallout. I'm actually going to go start playing Fallout here probably on my Steam Deck when we're done and watch a few more episodes of that because it's spectacular. Wolf or Sinistar, is there anything you guys would like to add before we close up for the night?
I'm trying to get up to streaming again. I've had a few weeks off. I'll get there.
Bro, I am totally set up for streaming, and you haven't seen my ass on Twitch in probably 3 weeks, so don't feel bad. I, too, am also trying to get back to streaming. I have a plan. probably in May. I've obviously had Sinistar and his wonderful wife come and visit. My parents are coming next weekend, as well as my birthday. So you'll see me in May. I promise we'll get back to a regular time for me in May. And we'll get back to Forbidden West, which has still been fantastic. I've been playing it quietly to myself, and it's starting to pick up, and it's been really, really good. So come and check me out there.
Wolf? How about you, Wolf?
Yeah, what about you?
I actually want to record Turbo Kid and upload the gameplay on this channel. And also, I will get around to my Sisyphean game sometime in the next few weeks, I swear.
It's all right. I'm sure yours is at least downloaded.
It is. It's installed on my Steam Deck and my PC, I believe. I did it on both.
So you're already you're light years ahead. You're light years ahead.
Nice. Awesome.
Oh, Jake, you're muted. You're talking, you're muted.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. Just saying. I have 8 months to go. It's fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I will get my game done. I will not spin that wheel of pain.
Something, Street Fighter. Street Fighter 6.
It's just it doesn't
matter.
By the end of this year, it's going to be Jake's Wheel of Pain. That's all it's going to be. We're just going to change the name of Jake's Wheel of Pain.
You guys have to make the picks.
We get to pick the games.
Pick the games. So you're going to be playing Cyborg Justice for 2 hours. I can't wait.
Fuck.
No, it's going to be all games with Tails in it.
You go. Nothing but Tails Racing. All right, guys. I want to thank the viewers that hung up with us tonight. Thank you for checking us out. Sure. Hopefully you agree. And if you don't agree with us, please drop by our Discord. Come and tell us what you think your favorite game of the 1991s were. And be prepared to see a couple more of these episodes later on throughout the year where we pick up a year. And we'll probably go in chronological order. So we'll probably pick up 92, 93, so on and so forth. We'll just kind of pepper them in here and there. So please come and check us out on Discord. Come check out the podcast website at pressb.com. And come and hang out with all of
us. Press B to cancel.
Press B to cancel. They know where to go. Go eat your s'mores.
No, they don't. Press B to cancel.com.
Press B.com
could be a porn site. They don't need to go there.
Well, they would be happy either way.
Okay.
This has been Press B to Cancel. Happy Friday, everybody.
B-Girl. Thank you.